Hey there, guys and gals, all you Hepcats, cool kittens, you diesel-powered disciples of cool, our friends and foes, welcome back to another exciting, thrilling episode of the Diesel Punk Podcast. I am your host, the artist also known as the Bamboozlist, Big Daddy Cool, John Pica, but you can call me Johnny, along with me, from parts unknown, weighing in at an unknown weight, the one, the only, the enigmatic Dark Soul. And right next to him, the gearhead, the metalhead, pretty boy, Corey.
Hi.
He is a good-looking man, I'll tell you what.
Body cute in those jeans.
No, if you're going to say that, you got to do it. Boy, you're looking mighty cute in them jeans. Squeal! I pity the fool. That's, remember Eddie Murphy's Delirious? Yeah. You kids out there don't know.
My oldest son was asking about Deliverance the other day. What's it about? Come on, son, let's go watch.
It's a military movie.
You know, there was another movie in the early 80s with Powers Booth, one of my favorite actors of all time, and it was called Southern Comfort.
I remember.
And it was kind of the same plot line as Deliverance, except Powers Booth was a military, like a captain, and he and three of his other men were in the swamps.
They go into Louisiana.
Yeah. And face my redneck gorillas.
Just joined us. He says they call me Cindy.
Hey, Cindy.
They call me Cindy. That's Hollywood.
Oh, really?
Yeah. His name's Brett. But he moved here from California, so we always called him Hollywood. And then I got drunk one night and made a stupid remark. So from then on, I was Cindy Brady. I used to wear
blonde pigtails. Note to self. Did you really?
Yeah. To car shows, I'd have a hat, or my helmet would have blonde pigtails that came out. So that's Cindy Brady.
I think you need to do that for this cosplay character.
I embraced it. I embraced my Cindy-ness.
I think you need to make this a thing.
Yeah, it should.
With the cybernetic arm and the...
And blonde braid. I still have the braid somewhere.
So we can talk about this right off the bat. Corey brought in some pieces of the cosplay character that he's working on to become a part of our League of Impossibilists. And you got the helmet.
Got
the new shirt. The vest. I love the leather vest. And I can't wait to see the cybernetic arm. And you got a gun?
Got a gun. I just primed it.
So yeah?
I've gutted it, and I ordered LEDs because I'm going to hollow out some of these holes.
Oh, that's awesome.
They should be arriving tonight, hopefully.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, now is the perfect time to be working on that kind of stuff because
I got time.
The entire country is under quarantine. Ugh. Well, look, I don't want to get into this. I don't want to get depressed. I've been depressed all day because, all of the big cities are being shut down. And I make a big part of my living working in the bars and restaurants in Nashville, leading haunted ghost tours. And word came down today that, the Department of Health is going to enforce Mayor Cooper's edict that they shut down, and basically that kills that aspect of my income. So, yay!
Yeah.
Fun for the whole family. So, it gives me more time, though, to work on this. So, have you seen this?
I have seen that.
This is a poster. We're going to paint it with neon colors to be like a blacklight poster.
That would be cool.
Yeah. And then this is the cover for the webcomic for the League of Impossibilists. And Doug Oller did the pencil artwork. And then I did all of the inking and some corrections. So, I'm working on this. We've got 8 pages ready to be... No, 10 ready to be finished. So,
cool.
I guess, there's a silver lining in everything. And that'll... allow me to finish this, and we'll start publishing it to the web. And I think what we're going to do. I'm thinking about this. I love the black and white, and we might just keep it black and white on the series. And then when we publish it in print, do a color,
yeah, the color.
A color version.
But not all cons have been canceled.
Well, that's right. Well, I didn't even talk about cons yet.
Oh, okay.
I talked about the bars and the restaurants.
Oh, okay. The world being canceled.
The world being canceled, which includes all of the comic book conventions that we were going to be at starting this weekend. Mid-South Con is canceled. Omnicon is canceled, postponed till October. What else? Wrathicon is postponed until October. Where else were we going to be? Well, we weren't going to do anything at MTAC, but that's been canceled to 2021. And so all of these cons, everywhere, Emerald City, Ace, just everywhere, Peoria Con, but...
All across the U.S.
All across the U.S., these big events are being canceled, sporting events. And, you know, it's like, I saw this post, it's like a nerd's dream.
Mm-hmm.
They woke up and they're forced to stay at home, not make any social contact, and all sports are canceled.
That's it.
So...
Watch cartoons.
It is my son's dream. It's like the day he's been dreaming of his entire
play
life.
Play video games.
Yes. So anyway, but there are some virtual cons that are popping up, but one of special note, and that is COVID-Con. Tell us what it is, Dark Soul.
COVID-Con is something that I and Blake Wilson dreamt up. 3 days ago.
Was it only 3 days ago?
Yeah, only 3 days
ago. It feels
ago.
Like you've been working on it for a month.
And we've already got a guest list of about 23 people. And we're talking SAG actors, directors, writers. We are reaching out to all these vendors who are going to lose money because the cons are closed. If they have an online presence, they can email us at covidcon2020@gmail.com and they can get in there. And here's the kicker. We are calling it COVIDCon, but we are not making a dime from it. This is a completely free event. We are not charging vendors. We are not charging people to view it. And it's going to be viewed on Twitch. And it is going to go April 25th. Thank you. Saturday, April 25th. And it is going to be an all-day Saturday event. Now, it is going to be pre-recorded because we're going to take all that you would normally see at a con, including... cosplay parade. And the cosplay parade will be where people can send in whatever cosplay they want. And we will have our GOH, who is the Conspiracy of Ravens, which is Twisted Raven.
Bewitched Raven.
Bewitched Raven. I call her Twisted because she's twisted to me. Bewitched Raven cosplay and Crystal Raven, who is our Madam Dark, will be commenting as if it is a costume contest. Yet, there is no winner. There is no loser. It is not a contest.
It's just a parade. It's a parade. It's a mass parade. Yeah.
We are putting all of that together. And if you want your costume in the parade, we would need that same email, which is covidcon2020@gmail.com. Need at least 3 pictures and possibly a little short video clip sent there. And we'll get you in the parade. So, as I said, once again, this is a completely free event. We are not making a dime on it at all. Nobody is being paid.
Now, why did you decide to call it COVID-Con?
Well,
it was pretty obvious to me, but a lot of people have brought it up.
Yeah, well, it's life. It's what's happening. If COVID-19 had not come about, there'd be no reason to have this con. Plain and simple. I mean, if we were making money off of it, I would feel the same way some people are about it being called COVID-Con, that we're profiting from other people's misery. no, we're not profiting 1 cent. In fact, it will probably cost a dollar or two to us, but that's fine. We are not asking money from anybody. We are not paying anybody. This is all for the very reason that people need an outlet, especially the people that normally go to the cons, because every con is being canceled.
Yeah, the creators definitely need an outlet. So, yeah, no, that's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. So, and of course, you know, there will be some panels on Dieselpunk. I think Eric Fisk, our partner at the Fedora Chronicles, and Eric, you still owe me the Man in the High Castle roundtable. What's going on, brother? Anyway, he's been asked to do a panel on Dieselpunk. I'm going to be doing my Dieselpunk magic act, recording 15 minutes of it for the con. And we got a lot of great, great stuff going on.
We got SAG actors. We've got Hollywood directors. We've got a director out of England who is a horror director. We've got A.G.
Howe. What director?
Horror. Out of England.
With two R's.
Well.
And an O-R. Three R's. Horror.
There might be blood.
There might
be blood and breasts in them.
Two. All right. So you know what? Can I riff on this for a minute? So without naming names, there was another virtual con this weekend, and it was promoted as a virtual con. It turned out to be five guys on Skype basically commiserating about the state of the industry. And I only caught one clip where they were talking about cosplayers. And you know, the dude, the I'm talking about like middle-aged dudes, says, what are they going to do now that all these cons are canceled? And the dude says, well, I thought they would just go back to being prostitutes. I'm like, what in the world? In 2020, why do we still have these attitudes? It drove me nuts. So, anyway.
Well, this is going to be, it will be, like I said, pre-recorded, and it will be published.
Yeah.
But it will be run as if you walked into a con.
So
there'll be panels, there'll be some acts, there'll be some music, there'll be each guest, and these are not just Joe Blow off the street that happened to be around a comic book store. These are actual media guests, writing guests, and artist guests. We have A.G. Howard, who is a fabulous, fabulous makeup and special effects artist, who's going to actually do an on-camera effects demo. Makeup effects. I mean,
that's cool.
This is the kind of stuff we're putting in it. And once again, nobody's being paid, and we're not trying to ask for any money. We're not even going to have out the old virtual tip jar. This is totally a gift.
How do people find out more? Is there a website?
Well, go on Facebook and search for COVIDCon, COVIDCON, and you'll find it.
Excellent. All right, so let's talk some more Dieselpunk stuff. I pulled a couple of comics from this week I thought might be cool to share with you guys. Final issue of Moonshine, this issue number 17. It ends the three-volume story arc. Man, this is a good series. This was so good. It's basically werewolves in Appalachia. Werewolf moonshiners in Appalachia. But in this story arc, the last, I guess, 13 through the last five issues have taken them down to New Orleans. And now...
Now the guru?
What's that?
Now the loop guru?
Yeah, whatever you said. You know, they're dealing with voodoo priestesses and,
that's
you
not
know,
a priestess. That was Baron Samedi.
Well, he's not Baron Samedi. He's Jean-Baptiste. But that's the makeup he's wearing. But, no, there are voodoo priestesses. Just because this issue focuses on him, But they're working with to try to cure the werewolf in Lou Perillo, and they bring in Jean-Baptiste, who is a voodoo priest in the vein of Baron Samedi.
I think it's a cool series just because it involves werewolves.
Yes.
Everyone does vampires, and vampires are cool. I love vampires. But the werewolves don't get enough attention. I like the fact that they use them.
I love werewolves. I think they're cool.
They're my favorite horror movie because I love the transformation scenes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. He kind of took his inspiration from the American Werewolf style. Or an American Werewolf in London style. What I love about this is the artist is Eduardo Risso, and he uses the negative space primarily. Which if you're an artist, you know what I'm talking about. But instead of using a lot of line work, he uses a lot of shadows and highlights to create the effect. So really love that. Great series. Go pick that up now. This series, Tales from Harrow County, is another great dieselpunk title. And what makes these two titles dieselpunk? We got Prohibition era werewolves, and this is Depression era. Again, Appalachia, and the lead character Bernice is a folk witch, folk magician. This is all about this particular arc, 5 issues, is about this woman who finds an old goblin spell that plays music that raises the dead. Huh. And she does it because she wants to see her son who died in the war, World War I. But she thinks that she's bringing peace and closure for everybody else in the town who gets to see their loved ones for the last time. But Cullen Bunn is the writer. The artist is Naomi Franquise. And this artwork, guys, I love this. This is how I think art should be done. It's all brushwork, so you have a lot of really nice, great, thick and thin line work, but then the coloring is all watercolor, and it is legit watercolor. You can tell in the way that things run together, and I just love that. I love that style. I know it's not everyone's cup of tea, but for me, I think that's beautiful to look at.
Yeah, it's unique to the comic world too.
Yeah,
it's not your everyday just pen and ink.
That's right. And, beautiful. And these two titles are dieselpunk all the way because they're set in the era. They've got the visual aesthetics. They've got the sci-fi and fantasy. And they've got the punk. There's an anti-hero that is, fighting to preserve, either fighting against the status quo or to preserve, the reign of a totalitarian figure. Now, this book, I was so excited about. Adler. It follows the adventures of Irene Adler from Sherlock Holmes. And Irene Adler is kind of the template for Miss Fisher. She was, in Sherlock Holmes' world, she was the, what do they call that? The Mary Sue. Or the Mary Jane. She could do everything. She could sing, she could act, she could fight, she was a detective. Anyway, the concept behind this was really cool. Irene Adler, Jane Eyre, Madame Curry. It was kind of like a female League of Extraordinary Gentlemen with some people from real history, some characters from fiction, and set in a steampunk London. So it's very much a steampunk aesthetic. The idea is fantastic.
Artwork's beautiful.
The artwork is crisp. It's clean. It looks really good. The story is a jumbled mess to the point that it makes zero sense. It's unreadable. And the only reason I show it is because this is something that needed a good editor. If they had had a good editor on this, it would be awesome. I mean, the cover is gorgeous. The concept is great. It does not work very well. And I'm sorry to say that. But, I didn't want to leave our steampunk brothers and sisters out of the loop. And what's really interesting is it's got a steampunk aesthetic, but it's set, I wanted to say that it's set after World War I. Maybe not.
Doesn't look like it.
Yeah, that's...
Let me see. Well, that's what I'm saying is... 1902. It's set in 1902. So, anyway. Pick it up if you're interested in that. I'd love to hear your opinion. So, who do we got watching? Anybody interesting?
Well, everybody's interesting in their own way.
Anybody worth mentioning? Well,
Perko Flarg, who's a pirate. We've got Damon Tobin, who's a pirate. We got Loretta Paul, who's one of the Blades associates. We got Zachary Pepper, who's a hell of a makeup artist himself. We got a bunch of people. I can barely see the writing. Whee! What you got?
I got my buddy John Tinker. Great guy. For a long time there, when I worked with him, I didn't know his last name was Tinker. I thought they just called him Tinker. But I soon found out that it was John Tinker. What's up, John? Selena Hanley. Kim Binkley. Good paint rep. She used to provide me with all the stuff I used to paint my cars. The wife, Christy. Gotta say hi to Christy.
Checking in on him.
Checking in. Darlena. Friend Chris Kahn. All kinds of people here. I got lots and lots and lots.
So, did you have to sell that car?
Which car?
Wasn't there a car you were working on that you posted at? I'm not going to be able to finish it?
Yeah, my 1952 Kaiser. If you know anything about cars, Kaiser is kind of rare. It was only made for 9 years. You can find Kaiser Jeeps and Kaiser trucks. Kaiser Willys became a thing. Still have it. People want it, but they don't want to pay me for it. So it's going to go into storage for a little while until I can find time to take care of it properly. But it's a 1952 Kaiser Manhattan.
I mean, it looks really good as it is. What do you have? Maybe it was just the picture you couldn't see, is it?
Yeah, it needs... The engine's blowing in it. I blew that up a few years ago going to a car show. It was a stock motor, so... Needs a new motor. It's got some rust issues. Not a whole lot. I mean, it's... For the year, it's a solid car.
Yeah.
It's just got a few things that normally start, like the rockers are going bad. But interior is practically brand new. Needs carpet and headliner. Everything else was redone before I bought the car. Needs chrome, but it's an old car. But it's a cool car. I love it.
Looks gorgeous.
Yeah, being rare like that, I don't really want to get rid of it. I mean, it's not super duper rare like a Tucker, but it's... You don't see them at every car show.
I've never even heard of it. Yeah. So.
They made them for 9 years, and they made them for 4 more years down in Argentina, I believe, after they went out of business in 1955.
Well, that's interesting. So, cool.
Don't cry
to
me.
The Man in the High Castle had
Argentina.
When he was in Germany, when Joe was in Germany,
yeah.
That girl drove up in a yellow convertible car. That was a Kaiser Darin. They only made like 200 of them. And they have pocket doors. The doors slide into the front fenders.
Oh, really?
Yep. So I was ecstatic to see a Kaiser in that show. I thought it was
so cool. Is it a German-made car? Yeah. No.
Not that I'm aware of.
And then they moved to Argentina.
They sold all the tools and dies for it to a company down there.
And just so that it's done properly, don't cry for me, Argentina.
Oh, well.
The truth is I never left you.
You're hurting my ears.
That's all right. You butchered it, so I had to fix it.
I don't care.
I know you don't, but I do.
He does.
It's important to me.
Yes.
Anyway, So over to Dark Soul. You've been watching something that we talked about on the Diesel Punk podcast 2 years ago when it first was being released. Netflix original series, Babylon Berlin, and it's actually based on a Dark Horse comic series.
Well, I did not know it was based on a comic. I started watching it because I was bored one night and ran across it. It's very interesting. It starts out, seems like it's based around World War One, and it's based in Berlin, and all the characters, it is subtitled and it is dubbed, and all the characters are German or from Cologne, Germany in that area. Now, where it stops being just historical period and becomes more punk is, well, first off, if you watch this, you have to not be offended by sexuality. I'll tell you that right off, because there are some scenes in it that are very explicit.
Ooh, I'm going to go watch it later on tonight.
But there's a scene with a nightclub.
Okay.
And they go into this nightclub, and it's almost like disco lights in there.
Okay.
Which they would not have had.
No, what was the music like?
It was techno.
Really?
It was techno, and they were dancing almost like a break dance type dance.
Really?
So that's where it turned. And then there's some other scenes that you sort of see stuff out of place of the time. But it's been very interesting. I'm on about the fourth episode, and it's based around a policeman from Cologne goes to Berlin because there's a pornographer that is blackmailing the mayor of Cologne.
So
with a film. And it isn't a talkie. It's actually a silent film.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a stag film. And his job is to try to get the film back.
Oh, so it is Man in the High Castle.
Yeah.
Well, with porn. Not exactly.
Well, so I thought based on, because I started to watch the first episode, it didn't grab me. I made it maybe 20, 30 minutes into it. And I haven't gone back to it. For some reason, I thought there was a supernatural element to the storyline.
It's not supernatural. You think it's supernatural, but it's not.
Okay.
He actually has shell shock.
Okay.
The policeman has shell shock. And if he goes into real bad stress, he'll start shaking and falling and doing, I mean, he has severe shell shock.
Okay.
That's what looks like supernatural, but it's not.
Almost like he's being possessed or something.
Yeah.
All right. Interesting.
But it is a very interesting series. I mean, I've watched about four episodes, and I've enjoyed what I've seen so far. I bounce back and forth to another episode occasionally. It's not something that has locked me into it, but it's good enough that I will put up with the dubbing.
Gotcha. Well, you know, with everybody about to go into quarantine nationwide, and for those of you who are listening to this in the future, we are, of course, talking about the COVID-19 crisis of 2020. And everyone's self-imposing quarantine, and cities are being shut down.
Except us, apparently.
Yeah. Well, we're a group less than 10.
Less than 10.
And and that's what they're saying now. No more gatherings more than 10 people. And oh, it's so frustrating. I know you have cabin fever because you're with the kids all day. But
all
just,
five of them right now.
I've not been locked up yet, but I'm already itching knowing that it's coming because it's hard for me. You have no problem with it, do you? You're like, me and my parrot, we're good.
Well, I'll be back in Memphis.
Yeah.
With the wife and child, the two birds, the dog. But we have separate rooms we can go to.
Wow.
With TVs in each one of them.
Yeah. If I don't have the kids, kids weren't home, I'd be thrilled because I'll just sit back, I'll watch TV, work on my models, I'm happy.
Yeah.
But those little suckers.
Well, yeah, they demand your attention all the time, especially the littlest
the
one.
The 1-year-old, yes.
Yeah, because
luckily, she's cute.
So. She'll eat the models. Yeah.
Well,
she tries.
And
she's quick, too. She'll
so I've been through this with two kids, and we have, what, five?
Five.
So
four boys and a little girl.
Yeah. When they're little like that, you think of them as helpless.
Yeah.
But she's a freaking Houdini.
Oh, yeah.
And the Flash combined.
Yeah. Oh, very
She
fast.
Escapes, and very then she's fast. Gone in a blink.
Yeah, she'll come up to the little table, like I said, with the models, and she'll just be staring, and all of a sudden something's gone, and she's down the hall. I mean, instantly.
Yeah.
Like, how did you do that? And she'll look over, she'll have her arms inside her onesie, all... Yeah. Like, how'd you get out of here? She looks like she's in a straitjacket.
Yeah, it's funny. But
she's very crazy.
So now is the time, as we approach the days of Mad Max, that
I'm
people...
That.
I know you are. I know you are. That people are... you know, investing more time in Netflix and Disney Plus and Hulu and Amazon Prime. Streaming services stocks have got to be going through the roof. They've got to be the only people who are making money now.
I've seen more people post on Facebook about how they've just finally joined Netflix and Hulu and Disney Plus.
Well, the rest of the economy is tanking. Live streaming is taking off. And
put your money in that and toilet paper and you're good to go.
Yeah.
And eggs.
And meat.
Apparently baby wipes. They wiped out the baby wipes at Kroger the other day.
Why?
Thanks. For those of us who need it, thanks. Yeah.
Use this water hose.
You know, people are thinking that once the food is gone, it's gone. But there's more coming.
Yeah.
There's more stuff coming. If we don't panic, they're still producing. They're still manufacturing.
Trucks are still running.
We just got to be careful and not being big groups and go to restaurants. They're still doing delivery. They're still doing takeout. You know, it's... But you hunker down and watch something good on Netflix or Disney Plus. And for me, I'm thrilled that the seventh season of The Clone Wars has hit. And we're four episodes in, and for those of you who haven't watched The Clone Wars, it is, in my opinion, one of the most dieselpunk of the Star Wars franchises, because all of the art design was based on the Ralph McQuarrie designs, which he took a lot of inspiration from the diesel-era sci-fi, and in particular... The clone troopers and the armored transports, all of the machinery of the early days of the, or the last days of the Republic, I guess it was, have this very World War II look to them. And a very used universe. You're starting to see that used universe.
Yeah.
In the armor, the chinks, and the battle technology, you know, the big walkers, the tanks, and, you know, The bombers have pinups painted on them, just like they did in World War II. And,
that's awesome.
Yeah, little details like that. And the first four episodes deal with the clone troopers division called the Bad Batch.
Yep.
They were the troopers that the clone programming didn't take.
The Dirty Dozen.
Kind of. Yeah. But they're not. They're not necessarily mentally damaged. They just, you know,
they're not brainwashed.
No, they have their own ways, their own thought processes, and their own personalities. Whereas all of the other clones are, that's what they are. They're carbon copies of each other. And while they have a little bit variations in personality, they share the same knowledge, the same memories, the same everything. But this batch, these five or six, that didn't take for them. And so they're completely individual.
Not Clone Wars. They're in... what was the other cartoon?
The Rebels.
Rebels.
Well, so...
Weren't some of them, or just some other... Ex-clone troopers.
They were ex-clone troopers.
That was
Captain Rex.
Yeah,
Rex.
And this story
it's
arc.
It's been a while since that's.
Yeah, this story arc revolves around Captain Rex and the Bad Batch trying to rescue Shock Trooper Echo. In Rebels, there were three that had discovered the chip.
Yeah.
in their brain and removed it before Order 66. So, that's what you got with the Rebels.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen that one.
Yeah. So
was it you, or did I see it somewhere else that you're starting to see Anakin's decline?
Yeah. So that was a big complaint about Episode 3 for a long time, was that, you know, even though we saw some hints of it in Episode 2 with the Sand People and whatnot, there was a lot of remorse, and, you know, he felt guilty. But in Episode 3, we see this very sharp fall from the hero to killing younglings.
Yeah.
Very quickly. And a lot of people complained about that, saying there, you know, there's no context for that rapid descent. And the thought behind the Clone Wars was that they would always touch on that and bring that out, and they really didn't in the first six seasons.
Yeah.
But this season,
you're starting to see it.
And this last episode, the main general of of the Trade Federation armies is like, "You're a Jedi. The Jedi don't kill in cold blood." And Anakin says, "I have no such reservations."
Hmm.
Yeah. And it was like, ooh.
Crazy.
Yeah. So they're starting to creep him, because the whole goal of the season is to take it right up to the beginning of Episode 3.
Yeah.
And so they're going to creep him along and make that fall make more sense. So
I'll have to get caught up on that tomorrow then.
Yeah, four episodes, 30 minutes each, pretty quick watch. And, you know, I had forgotten how good that series was. I love that series. It was must-watch TV for me. And when I turned it on a couple of weeks ago in that first, you know, fanfare, came on, I was just like, oh, it's so good.
Are they doing it like The Mandalorian weekly?
Yes.
Instead of all at once?
Yeah, it is weekly.
That's a Disney thing then, I guess.
Yeah, it is. They've decided for all Disney Plus shows that they will release them weekly.
I like the concept.
I do too.
Yeah, it's not just binge watch and be sad.
Yeah.
You get that anticipation every week.
Well, and you know, a lot of people binge watch something and then they cancel their subscription.
Yeah.
And by doing it weekly like this, and they're going to do that with all of the Marvel shows, with the Ben Kenobi show, you know, it will keep people coming back and being more interested.
Sounds like a talk show. The Ben Kenobi show with special guest.
So tell us, Anakin.
Yeah.
What was it like being in Coruscant killing younglings? Anyway, that was my best Ewan McGregor impersonation.
I'm sure he'd be flattered.
I have a bad feeling about this. Anyway, anything else, guys?
No. I was just happy to get out of the house.
Yeah, I know. do you like gummy bears?
I love gummy bears.
We need some gummy bears. We're gonna go off the air. We're gonna eat some gummy bears, and Dark Soul probably won't indulge himself because he's no fun at all. But thanks, guys, for tuning in. You can continue to post comments on the video. We will listen. We will respond in time. And you will be able to listen to this episode back on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you listen to fine audio podcasts. And since I got nowhere to be this week, I'll get it done really quickly.
And be on the lookout for Old Codger's Liars Club, which is coming very soon.
Oh, yeah, we didn't even talk about that. So this is a great concept. Let's talk about this before we sign off. Old Codger's Liars Club is a new podcast that Robert and Alan Gilbreth is putting together. And Dark Soul and Alan Gilbreth are putting together. And
at least once.
Well, you know, it's my thing. and you're taking those octogenarians, those guys who lived through the diesel era.
Yeah.
And you're putting them on camera, on audio.
Not just guys.
Well, the people.
Yes.
People. So far, we've only talked about
we've only done one so far, and it is being produced right now. The next one will possibly be a lady that I know that has actually hunted and shot a bear in her youth.
All right.
Cool.
So she'll tell about that. She's a pistol.
Where does she live?
She lives in Mississippi.
Oh, doggone it. I got to find someone for my dad. He needs someone.
She's married already.
Well, he doesn't care. But anyway, the first episode was with my dad. We learned a lot of stuff about my dad's career.
I pulled some stuff out of him.
Yeah. So I hear it turned out pretty good. Alan emailed me, said, "Man, your dad is a pistol. He's great." And so I can't wait to see that. But those octogenarians, those people who lived during the diesel era, you're going to be interviewing them, pulling stories out of them that they might tell around the beauty parlor or the cigar shop or out on the front porch.
Yeah. It's those old stories. You know, when your grandparents had their friends over late at night and they were drinking their coffee or maybe having a little nip, and the kids were all hushed off to bed or in another room, and you could barely hear them, and you could hear them start laughing and talking about the days and telling those stories. Well, those are the kind of stories I'm looking for. And if you know anybody in that range that wants to tell their story, reach out to me. You reach out to me, and we'll come to them if all possible, and we'll get their story. Because remember, once they're gone,
yeah,
their story's gone.
Yeah, and that's why I really was excited that you wanted to do my dad's first, because
awesome.
I've not had a chance to record some of those stories, and I heard stuff that I never knew before.
See, I found a photo album from my one grandfather from right after the war with him and a bunch of Navy buddies, and I wish I could have stories like who are these people?
Yeah,
why were you at the beach with these people, and what were you doing?
Well, what was so
stories are gone now.
What was so funny is, he goes, "But Daddy, you always told me you were a secretary in the Teamsters." He goes, "Oh, no, not really." Said, "Well, what were you?" "I was a rabble-rouser." But no, he was not just a rabble-rouser.
No, no. Well, you'll have to listen to the episode to find out what we're talking about. Old Codgers Liars Club, be on the lookout for that coming real soon. COVID Con, look that up. Support the Diesel Punk Podcast at thedieselpunkpodcast.com. You can do a tip in the tip jar, $2, $5, $10, whatever. It helps support us, keep us on the air, and we can upgrade to a non-vertical camera and get a set behind us. If you guys help us out, that would be awesome. And listen on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts. And on behalf of Dark Soul and Pretty Boy Corey.
Or Corey. We'll go with that.
Yep. I will say thanks for tuning in. Until the next time, we'll catch you on the flip side.